no school, so no Awana, so no kids over there, but you know, remember them, that Awana program. If anybody's got a prayer request. To Brother Allen for just a little bit, and he sounded groggy. He said, "I thought I'd just bounce right back after this." He said, "It's a little bit worse than I thought." But didn't he just literally? He had surgery, I think. He might have still been under anesthesia. Remember that. Arthur? It's like COVID's making its round, so. Remember that a lot of people's got it and said today that Anderson County Schools, I think they're going to be closed the rest of the week. If they had 90 teachers test positive in the last 2 days. So, I mean, that's a good-sized school system, but it's a lot of people testing positive. Anybody else? Brother Sean's been over here writing a mile a minute. You got him? You going to pray over him? All right. right, if you got your Bibles, we'll go. Trying to go quickly. Jeremiah chapter 18, and we'll move. Try to move on. Try to get you out here a little early if you don't tell Dave. I say that every time. I'm going to try to do it this time. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. I want to talk just a little bit about broken things tonight, about things, some things are better when they're broken. And we serve a God that specializes in broken things, and brokenness is a lot of ways a prerequisite to being used by God. He has to break you. I know that's been true in my life. It's true in many others. Many things are they're not useful until they've been broken. And that doesn't sound, it sounds kind of odd to even say that, because we think of, we think of something being broken that it's, if something's broken, you throw it away. I played for Coach Diggs at Huntsville, and when I played for Coach Diggs, Coach Diggs was a lot older, and I think Coach Diggs was probably a little bit softer than he was in the 80s when he was coaching Mike. And Sean, you probably played for Coach Diggs, and I love Coach Diggs, but one thing, we'd run, fast 35, fast 35, fast 35, and then, we'd run fast 35 to Michael Perry, and then we'd run fast 35 again, and then he'd get me over to the sideline, and he'd rub my shoulder, and rub my arm, he'd just sit there, and he'd just rub you, and he'd just sit there like he was really thinking about what he was going to call, and he'd go, fast 35. And he'd wait till right at the end. He'd say, fast 35, and he'd push you into the, onto the field, and you'd have to run in there and call the play, and you'd run fast 35. And I could, Sean, just like anybody that ever played for him, you could draw up first fast 35 right now. If we could put a group together right now of the guys that played for Coach Diggs, we could line up right now in the T formation, and we'd run fast 35. We'd know exactly how to run it. And I'd say, Coach Diggs, we had him in PE too, which PE was, for Coach Diggs, was, it was football time. And he'd take us football players off to the side, and we'd run 20-yard sprints. He didn't believe in 40-yard sprints. He wanted to run 20-yard sprints. And we'd talk about, with us in middle school, we'd talk about what everybody else was doing. It was kind of when the spread was kind of beginning to be a thing, and shotgun. And, Coach, why don't we run shotgun? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? It ain't broke. Don't fix it. But there's some things that are better when they're broke. Because when they're broke, that the one that puts them back together, if you allow God to put it back together, he can put things that are broke back together better than they were at the beginning. And Jeremiah 18, talk a little bit about that. The potter's house, gives us a pretty good idea of what it's like to be broken and being in the hands of the potter, which is our Heavenly Father. It said, chapter 18, verse 1, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. So we get this idea that there's potter, he's putting something together, he's molding something, and there's something wrong with it, so what does he do? He breaks it, and he starts over. John chapter 12, another place in the Bible, where it talks about something having to be broken or something having to die to be useful. Fine, I thought I marked it. I didn't. Which is completely contrary to what we believe. We go through our house all the time. Ashton actually just did it. She's went through all the kids. We've been moving the kids' rooms, and she's went through, and Conley has more toys that don't work than do work. And so you have to purge them. You have to get rid of them. John chapter 12, we'll start 23. It said, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. said, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That piece of that corn, it has to die, it has to be broken, it has to it breaks so that it can create something better and something more useful. Being broken is something that for the world is a negative, like a broken leg. You break your leg, that's a negative, that's bad, right? The world will tell you that if you don't have any money, you're broke, right? None of us probably know what that's like, right? Yeah, we know what that's like to be broke. We all do. We've all been younger in college or had to pay a mortgage before. But it's bad. Being broke is bad. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend breaks up with you, it's said that you're heartbroken, right? But for God, brokenness or being broken can literally be your big break. It can be your stepping stone to something better, to a better relationship with Him, to a better relationship with your family, or a better life here on this earth, and better, relationship with your Heavenly Father. Brokenness is the starting point for God's blessing. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. So those that are of a broken heart, the Bible says God is nigh unto you. He cares about people with broken hearts. Amen. Psalm 51:17, we'll read the entire chapter here in a second, but Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness in God's economy, not in man's economy. You've got two different economies. I thought Kermit did a really good job this Sunday. He was talking about, he did give that crazy funny story about rightly dividing the Word of God. And that's that was really good. It really got me. I started cracking up on it. But, the Bible, we do have to rightly divide the Bible. The Bible, there's divisions in it. You have to make divisions in it. When you're reading the Bible, you're always having to think about, who's talking and who are they talking to, right? I mean, there's three different groups of people in the Bible, the church, the Jew, and the Gentile, right? So you have to decide there real quick who's been, because some things don't fit with other people, right? Some things that God's saying to the Jews doesn't fit with the church. That's where people get mixed up. That's where people get mixed up on rapture and the second coming of Christ, the second advent stuff. People get mixed up on that stuff. The same way we're talking about things that work in God's economy, all right, are always are different than in man's economy, all right? With God, brokenness is good, and he cares about you and your brokenness, and he's nigh to you and your brokenness, and being broken can be a starting point for something good. For man, that's totally opposite. For man, brokenness is, forget them, they're done. You're almost a castaway. Completely different with God. Brokenness, it always comes before God's blessing. Brokenness always comes before God's blessing. In man's economy, brokenness comes before pity. Right? Pity, or you feel pity for you, or they feel sorry for you. God specializes in broken things. He specializes in mending broken hearts, broken homes, broken hopes, broken health, and broken happiness. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I'll tell you what got me thinking about this, which I did this before as a lesson. I thought about it because of the song Matthew West sang. Matthew West, me and Ashton's got to know Matthew West a little bit over the last decade. And he's a contemporary Christian music singer. However you feel about that, we like him. We think he's a good man. He's a good father. But he sings a song that's called Broken Things. In verse 2 of this song, it says this. It says, the pages of history, they tell me it's true that it's never the perfect. It's always the ones with scars that you use. It's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. All the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for sinners like me. And the chorus goes, now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true, you use broken things, then here I am, Lord. I'm all yours. Brokenness leads to God's blessing. Being broken. And The Bible tells a bunch of stories. We're going to talk about just a few of them, about being broken and things that have to be broken before they can be used or be useful to God. Just like the ground has got to be broken if you plant a garden. Just like a piece of wheat has to be broken to bring to give us bread. The Christian life is a call to brokenness. It's a call to be broken. If you're broken, God can use you. And if you're proud, the Bible says that he'll resist you. That's what it says. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God wants us broken. There's some different things that should break us. We'll talk about those at the end, but a few examples of people that have been broken, that are broken in the Bible, and I'll be honest with you, that here's right here. We're getting right here about the middle end of it right here. Hopefully I might be telling the truth. The Joseph in the Bible, we all know Joseph and Joseph in his coat of many colors, and Joseph was a great example. He was very example of Christ. He's a picture of Christ in the Old Testament, maybe the greatest picture of Christ in the Old Testament. And, you know, one thing about Joseph in the Bible, and it's hard to figure out where did Joseph sin. I mean, there's no really recorded sin in Joseph. Maybe his pride in telling his brothers and his father his dream. Maybe that was a sin but Joseph, you know, Joseph was a just man, and he was upright before the Lord. And even Joseph, as good of man as he was, he was envied. He was envied by his brothers. Acts 7:9 and said, the patriarchs moved with envy, and they sold Joseph into Egypt. These brothers done this. We all know the story. Put him in a pit, sold him, and he goes to Egypt. Joseph was envied. Joseph was expelled. And all that, all the bad things happened, and Joseph was exalted. And then he was exonerated. Joseph was broken. He was broken. He was broken by his family. He was broken and put into a place of, you know, a place of humility. He had lived in Potiphar's house. He was in prison. He lived in jail. And everywhere Joseph went, he honored God. And in his brokenness, he allowed his brokenness to lead to humility that allowed him to be able to be used by God. Joseph was a man that was broken, but his brokenness led to God's blessing. Another one in the Bible was Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was broken. He was broken by God. God broke him. And there's a lot of different things in this world that'll break you. The world will break you. You know, God will break you. You know, your job can break you. Paul was 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was broken by God. God broke him. And broke him of his pride and his belief that Paul was all he needed. God was never going to allow Paul to believe that Paul was all he needed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it said, I'll go to verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Paul found out what all of us should find out, and we need to find out, is that when we are weak, he is strong. Amen. It was a matter of pain with Paul. It was a matter of prayer with Paul. It was a matter of permanence. It was something that he never would get rid of. It was a problem that he died with. He was never going to be able to get over this problem, that this thorn in the flesh that the Lord had given him. But you know what it became? It became a matter of power. It became his power. that thorn in the flesh, that thing, that messenger of Satan to buffet him, instead of it being something that separated him from God and held him back, it was something that became powerful to him in his relationship with God. It gave him strength. All right, it gave him encouragement. It kept him close to the Lord. Right? It didn't allow space to get between him and the Lord, because he knew he had to stay close to him, because that's where his power came. He knew in and of himself that what this messenger of Satan, it would get the best of him. He couldn't get rid of it. You got to stay. For us, the same thing's true. We can't allow much space to get. You know, when the Lord gets out of our sight, and you know, just kind of like Peter when Jesus is being taken to Pilate's hall, and what happened, Peter? There's some space that gets between Peter and Jesus. And when there's space that gets between us, and you know what we start doing? We start denying him. That's exactly what happened to Peter. All right, when Peter was with Jesus, what did he do? He was all about it, man. He was, yeah, Lord, I'll do anything for you. When he was with Jesus, just that very same night, you know what he did? He chopped a man's ear off for Jesus. And that same Jesus, there's a little bit of space now. And Jesus ain't so close. What does Peter start doing? Don't take him long, man. It don't take us long either. It don't take us long to start denying him. It's exactly what Peter, it's what happens when you're space, when you can't see Jesus no more, when there becomes space between you and Jesus. Paul understood that there couldn't be any space between him and his Father. It was a thing of power to him. It became a matter of power. He was broken. God broke him. But it became his power. Brokenness always comes before blessing. Brokenness comes in a lot of different ways. Not everybody's broken, brokenness comes the same way that Paul's did. You know, it ain't got to come through some messenger of Satan that buffets you, you can't get rid of. It ain't got to come through the loss of a child or, you know, the loss of a loved one. It ain't got to come through a drug addiction. It ain't got to come through some tragic, crazy event. There's a lot of different things that can lead to brokenness. A lot of different things. David, he was broken. He was broken when he betrayed himself. All right, and he betrayed his God with Bathsheba. He was broken. He was broken. 2 Samuel 11. Read just a little bit of it. 2 Samuel 11. Verse 1. I'm gonna mark these, and I didn't. We all know the story of David. He betrayed his men. He betrayed his God. It said 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It said, and it came to pass after the year that it was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. That's, obviously, we all know that was David's first mistake. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him and lay with her, and for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. David lingered. He looked. He lusted. He laid. He lost. And ultimately, he lamented. He lamented his sin. What is the difference between David and King Saul? King David was the second king of Israel, and King Saul. Think about King Saul. What did he do? He was God's man. The Bible says he was a humongous man. I mean, he was a man's man. I mean, he was a man among men. I mean, maybe 7 foot tall. Maybe taller. Some commentaries I've read, but you know, Saul, he was God's man. He told them they didn't want it. They wanted a king. God told them they didn't need a king, but they wanted a king, and God gave him a king, and he gave him Saul. Think about Saul, and Saul is, you know, the You know, we have a bad opinion of Saul, and rightfully so, but what did Saul do? What was Saul's sin? Impatience, right? He done something before God told him to do it, right? And he didn't perform. He didn't kill everybody he was supposed to kill, right? And we have a bad opinion of Saul, right? And here's David. David's a man after God's own heart. We have a good opinion of David, right? Everybody at King David, everybody loves King David. What did King David do? King David, he had adultery with one of his main men. This was one of his. Uriah wasn't just anybody; he was one of David's men. He committed murder, plotted to get him killed, and was successful. So what, so David is an adulterer, he's a murderer, he's a liar, all these things. So what's the difference? And why do we have a bad opinion of Saul? And then why does God call David a man after his own heart? Because if we're looking at it from our vantage point, you're thinking, man, all Saul did, Saul's just a little impatient. I'm pretty impatient myself, David over here, he's killing people. He's taking their wives and killing their husbands. How they respond to it. How they lamented their sin. The difference in David and Saul is that Saul was too proud to be sorrowful. David wasn't too proud to be sorrowful. He wanted forgiveness. Saul didn't want forgiveness. Saul was right. Saul's a lot like us, a lot like me sometimes. I'm right. Saul was an excuse maker. David wasn't an excuse maker. David was a knee faller. David fell on his knees. Psalm 51, the entire psalm is about David and him lamenting his sin and his sin with Bathsheba. It said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions." So hear that? He said, "I acknowledge my transgressions." You know the difference between Saul and David? That right there. That one little half a verse right there. "And my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned." David understood that his sin wasn't just he had let Israel down, he had let men down, but ultimately he had let God down. "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the midden and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Did you hear that word? Broken. God broke him over this sin. "Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." See, David was going to allow this to help him moving forward, right? It wasn't just something. David wasn't just going to get right with God and just leave it there. David was going to get right with God and then help other people get right with God, right? That's the difference between David and Saul, right there. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. David was broken. He betrayed his men, he betrayed his God, and it broke him. We remember David often. It's easy to remember David for his great sin, but we should probably remember David more for Psalm 51. That David. That David, the David that confessed. The David that repented. Why is David a man after God's own heart? Because of David's repentance. Because of his repentance. God remembers his repentance. And there's so many others throughout, the Bible. We've things that are better. They're better when they're broken. You got Matthew chapter 26. There's a woman with an alabaster box of ointment, and that alabaster box was probably really nice and really pretty, and it probably looked good. What'd that thing have to do? It had to be broken, be used. And then Gideon is his 300 men and judges, and you get 32,000, dwindle down to 300, and when they go out to 300, they break the pitchers. Better, they were better when they were broken. It looked like more. There was more of them. And then, there's a father in Mark chapter 9. He's got a son that is demon-possessed. His father, he gets desperate. And that possession of his son, it breaks him. It breaks him to where he takes his son to the only place where he thought he could get help. Took him to Jesus. Had to meet them disciples first. But eventually got him to Jesus. Being broken is the starting point for blessing. Brokenness always precedes God's blessing. There's different things that we should be broken by. We should be broken by the Word of God. The Word of God should break us. It's truth. It's standard. It doesn't move. It doesn't sway. It doesn't change. The standard is God's Word, and His Word does not change, and we fall short. And it breaks us. It should break us. The grace of God should break it. The fact that God could save me, that God could snatch me out of hell and put me into heaven is just that in and of itself. What I said about, you don't have to have, you don't have to go through a drug addiction or have some tragedy or nothing. Just think about the grace of God and how good God is to you, and that should break you. That how unworthy you are, and His willingness to come make you worthy. And His willingness to come get you. That in and of itself should break you. The forgiveness of God should break us. That He knows exactly who I am. And He still wants to get to know me. He wants me to get to know Him, and He wants relationship with me. That's unbelievable. That should break you. The fact that the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to know you, and He wants relationship with you. And guess what? He knows things about you that your spouse don't know about you. And He still likes you, and He still loves you, and he still wants relationship with you. That should break you. A lot of other things that should break us. The lost should obviously break us. In our community, in our town, in our county, in our state, and around the world, that should break our hearts. Those that are less fortunate, our country should break. Just the way our country, the direction in which it's heading should break us. Just break us down. The fact that, we should be broken in prayer for our country, for our land, for the lost, for our church. I mean, there's so many things that we should be broken by and broken for. There's a couple of different things that God will break you over if you've never been broke. Some things that He will break you over. He'll break you over your own sin. He will break you over your sin. He'll break you over your own self-reliance. Your ability to think that you've got it all under control, and that you're running the show, and that it's your way, and that the belief that you are somebody or you're something. That's a hard thing to understand. God had to break. It took me a long time. I was a hard one to break on that. Because I was so prideful and thought that I thought I had it figured out. And the Lord had to break me. He'll break you over your own self-reliance. He'll break you to serve others through serving others. He'll break you through serving others, whether it's working over at Awana or, you know, working at, you know, people that work at the soup kitchen or working with the less fortunate, or he'll just serving others and understanding that Jesus, at his core, he's a servant. That's what he is. He's a servant. And he taught us that that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be servant. And then just having the ability and getting the opportunity to serve is a blessing. And then, but on the flip side of that, you know, it's a blessing to serve and to work and to do for others and, you know, to help other people. And understand, though, that on the flip side of that, that it's helping you and that you get to be God's hands and feet in that. That should break us. That he thinks enough of us, not that we have to give up our Wednesday to go do a one or get here early or rush after or, you know, have to give up a Saturday for a soup kitchen, but God uses us. Whether it's an inconvenience or it's hard or it's, you know, we have to give up of our time, but that God uses us. I mean, he's the God of the universe. He can do whatever he wants, and he chooses to use you. And he chooses to use me. I tell you what, that should break you up a little bit. Right there should break up the fallow ground. Right there, that. Cause me, hey, I know me, John. I know who I am, and I can't be trusted to make a Pop-Tart. You know, God used me for something eternal, not something in the next 2 minutes. Something eternal. Break you. God brings us to a point of reliance on him. That's where he wants us to get to. That's the whole point in being broken for God. It's the same as it was with Paul. He wants to get you to a place to where you rely on him, where you're not relying on yourself, you're not relying on your money, your family, your name, your job. You're relied on him. Your reliance is completely on him. God uses the usable. Let me say that again. God uses the usable. If you're usable, God will use you. Tell you something else. God calls busy people. That's who God wants to use. God uses busy people. He don't use lazy people. He won't. You know who God will call to do something? Somebody that's already doing something. That's just the way it works. If you're doing something for the Lord, you know what he'll do? He'll call you to do something else for the Lord. Dave was a pastor. What did he do? He called him to do something else. Why? Because he was being faithful in what he was doing as a pastor. Right, you know what I'm saying? God, you want to be called by God to do other things, be faithful to God in what you're doing right now. That's why I don't have any problem whatsoever going over with Sean doing Wednesdays on Awana's on Wednesday nights. Let me tell you what I need to be. I need to be faithful exactly what God's called me to be, right here, right now. And if you're here in this church and you feel like you don't have a place, you feel like you don't have anything to do, a ministry, you know what you better do? You better get faithful in what you're doing. You better get faithful in what God called you to do. If you're faithful in what God called you to do, guess what he'll do? He'll call you to do more stuff. Amen. That's how it works. And you know, if you don't want to be used, if you're not usable, and you don't want to be inconvenienced, then guess what? God ain't gonna use you. He uses the usable, and God uses people that are willing to work. He likes people that are willing to get their hands dirty. Last thing about being broken, and last person I'll talk about being broken is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was broken. Talked about David and Paul and my, you know, ourselves and Joseph, and all those were broken. And guess what? They had good reason to be broken. They were all sinners. They were like me and you. They missed the mark. Jesus Christ was broken, and guess what? He never deserved it. He chose it. Savior was broken. He was bruised. Not for his iniquity, not like David. He wasn't like David. He didn't mess up. He wasn't like Jordan. He wasn't bruised for his own iniquity. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was broken for our iniquity. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says this. It's Jesus talking. It says, "Take, eat. This is my body." Listen to these last five words. It says, "Which is broken for you." His body was broken for us. And in Isaiah 53:5, I know I marked this one. Isaiah 53:5, the last place we go. going to read, I'll start in verse 4. It says 53:4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." It says in verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." For the rest of us, we're all like David and Joseph and Paul. We all go astray and we all mess up. Jesus, he wasn't like that. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was broken. He was broken for us. Because he was broken, we can be put back together. Amen. His blood promised redemption. His burial promised removal. Because he was buried and rose again, that promises me and you that one day we'll raise again. Because he was raised. His body promised a resurrection. Our Lord and Savior, he was broken, but it brought salvation. God's brokenness always precedes his blessing. And there's some things that, in the last couple of weeks that me and Ashton have been, broken about, and, my wife's been extremely broken. And, but every time I've ever been in that situation where I've been broken by the Lord a few times. And every time it's always a little different. And sometimes it seems like it's real dramatic. Sometimes it's not real dramatic. It's just me and him. And a realization that I'm not who I thought I was, and I need him, and I need his help. And a lot of times that's just me and him. And then ain't nobody else got to know about it. There's also times you go through things when, you get broken and other people know about it. And, there's some things that's happened in the last couple of weeks that me and her have been broken over. And what I found is that through brokenness and through the brokenness of losing and suffering, is that God's blessing is an understanding of how much I love my wife and how blessed I am that he put me and her, brought me and her in this every step of my story, and how he's longed for that ride. And not just longed for the ride, hopefully he's leading it, right? I hope he's not longed for it. I hope I'm not dragging him along. But how he's ordered our steps, and how blessed we are, and how fortunate we are to have the people and around us, and how God is, how we're not just in our family and bringing us together, but even this church and putting us in this spot right now for this time in our lives, and how God ordered that. His brokenness always precedes his blessing. We serve a really good God. If you've never been broken by him or broken for him, I wouldn't wait for tragedy. I wouldn't wait for the other shoe to drop. I wouldn't wait for nothing. I tell you what I do. I fall on my knees and I get broke for him. And guess what I still need to do on a daily basis? I still need to get on my knees and get broke for him. Every single day that I wake up, and I live in Scott County, Tennessee, and I get to go to a job that I love with a family and healthy kids, I mean, that right there should break me, because of how good God is. Every now and then, though, I just need a reminder. Amen. Amen. Of how blessed we are and who blessed us. All right, I didn't lie. We got 14 minutes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We pray for our pastor. God, we pray for this church and, Lord, our communities. No doubt, Lord, there's a lot of people battling COVID and a lot of people that are sick. Lord, this snow has, Lord, messed up a lot of different schedules and things going on, but Lord, I pray that you'd watch over and protect and guide. And God, I pray that you'd be with us the rest of this week. And Lord, bring us back here on Sunday. I pray, God, that you'd be with this church. You'd watch over the Awana program. Lord, I know it's not going on tonight, man. Lord, what an awesome thing that is. I'm so thankful to be in a church that cares about young people and people that want to work for you and help and Lord, give of their time and their talents for you. And God, I pray that you'd be with this church, and pray that you'd be with everyone here. God, and I pray that, Lord, even, Lord, if it's just alone by ourselves in our own prayer closet, Lord, that we'd get broken for you and for how good you are to us and how blessed we are, Lord, to live in America, to live in this county, to live in this state, and Lord, to go to this church and serve such a great, gracious, and loving, and merciful God. Be with us the rest of this week. Be with us as we leave and go to our houses tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.